The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning and welcome to WTBR in the Morning Drive. I am Brian Burkle. I'll be your host today. This is Monday, June 1st. It is summertime, I guess. if we can get through we almost had frost the other night, for gosh sakes. Today we are talking about the town of Lenox and all the good things that are available coming up this year. And we know it's not just a one-time event down there. We've got all year round, there's things going on. So we're going to be talking today with Jay Green, who's the town manager, and Sarah Goodberlet, who is the executive director of the Lenox Chamber of Commerce. So today is Lenox, and of course our neighbors. So we are here on WTBR 89.7 and WSBR 88.1 in Lee. And before we get into the weather, what we're listening to right now is a song called The Lenox. All right, well, let's check our weather for all of Berkshire County and see what we can expect.
For the Pittsfield area, today, patchy fog this morning. Mostly sunny with isolated showers. Highs in the mid-60s. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming northeast this afternoon. Chance of rain 20%. Tonight, mostly clear. Patchy fog after midnight. Lows around 40. North wind around 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Tuesday, patchy fog in the morning. Mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, there is the weather. Something to look forward to. It is June 1st, so welcome to Monday, June 1st. I've said a few times before on this, since I moved to Mondays, I used to do Fridays, and it was always nice to say, welcome to Friday, right? Everybody's excited about Friday, and now I'm here on Mondays, and it's just, hey, welcome to Monday. But at least now I can say it's June 1st, so there's a good side to today. So we are today talking with Jay Green, the town manager of Lenox, and Sarah Goodberlet, the executive director of the Lenox Chamber of Commerce. So, Sarah, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. And Jay, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. So we want to just talk about what's going on in Lenox. Summertime is coming. It is June, as we've said many times already this morning. And we know that Lenox is obviously quite a hub for summer activities. We're not the only ones, of course. We have our neighbors in Stockbridge and Lee and Great Barrington and Pittsfield and all the way in North County, North Adams. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of Berkshire County is a big draw in summertime, which is fantastic. There's so much going on culturally, just getting out in the nature. You know, we had Berkshire Natural Resources on a few weeks ago, and Pleasant Valley, which is in Lenox, were here the other that same day talking about getting outside and enjoying all that nature here has to offer here in Berkshire County. So there's so much going on in Lenox. Let's kick it off with Chamber of Commerce. Let's talk a little bit about what people can expect coming up in the near future for downtown.
Sure. Yeah, you're right. The whole region just gets lit up, and so many offerings and opportunities all within this beautiful backdrop of natures and trails. But we have some programs coming up pretty soon. This coming weekend, we have our Spring Art Walk. I think this is its fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
It takes place Saturday and Sunday, and there's 50 juried artists that take residence downtown Lenox in the village and set up their tents. We've got live music. And even more exciting this year is that it's being partnered with Lenox Pride. Mm-hmm. And so Saturday there are a couple events. There's a morning kind of family-friendly event that's happening in Lilac Park. And then in the evening at the Belvedere, there's an event called Rumpies Return, which I didn't experience the original Rumpies, but there's quite a following, and I'm sure lots of stories there. So That's an evening event that's happening on this Saturday. And then Sunday, the Art Walk returns. And then our Lennox Loves Music begins on Sunday in Lilac Park at 3:30. That is a summer event that happens through June and September on Sundays. We pause, and then July, Music in the Park comes. So there's music all 3 months throughout the season in Lilac Park.
Yeah, and all 3 months, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And two different days of the week, you're saying, right? So there's the Wednesday concerts, and then there's also the Sunday evening things?
Yeah, Sundays in June and September, and then Ken Fowler and his program comes in and does Wednesdays throughout the month of July.
And I've seen that. That's very popular.
Yeah, it is. It is. When you walk down there, there's not much room to put a chair up in Lilac.
If I'm reminded when I'm down there that that's right. Tonight is a concert night when I see everybody walking around town with folding chairs in their hands, you know, on their way over to Lilac Park.
His programming is pretty good too. It's diverse.
Yeah.
And he takes feedback from folks in terms of what they want to see. So he does a great job with it. Ken's a former select board member, and he's been doing this now for several years. It's kind of a work of love, really, for him to do that.
Yeah, we're grateful that he puts that together, because it is a great program. So, and you've got that wonderful, not cabana, what's the word I'm looking for?
The pavilion.
The cabana, whatever.
Yes.
My head's at the beach, apparently.
It is Monday.
It is Monday, yes. And it is June, right?
So, it is kind of rainy.
Yeah. but that's a great structure down there. What a great place for a band to set up. And then you got the sloping hill. It's a great spot for a free concert.
Yeah.
Free. That's the key there. So we got that going on. You said, tell me a little bit more about that Rumpy's experience.
Well, I guess it was quote-unquote...
At the Belvedere?
It's at the Belvedere.
Okay, yeah.
There's karaoke and trivia, and I guess it was a classic dive bar in the basement.
Over on Church Street.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that this event was happening. But yeah, it was a little bar downstairs, a lot of character to it, and it was down underneath the Village Inn, which used to now... It's renamed now.
The Whitlock?
Whitlock, yes. Thank you. They're on Church Street.
Yeah.
So this is a little like throwback to that.
It's a throwback to it. It's a nighttime party. There's going to be music and dancing, and it should be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's another one of those nice examples of things that happen in Lenox where there's still always a nod to its past. It's not afraid to embrace the present, you know, current culture.
Sure.
But it's always neat to see where little things from the past, because every time something, like I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about parking at one point, and there was apparently also a dive bar that was there.
Yeah.
And that unraveled into a whole bunch of different conversations about things that happened there, you know, over time. So it's really a neat blend. And if you haven't been to the Belvedere yet, what a beautiful space that is, right in the heart of the village. It's really a unique place.
Yeah.
So this is a great opportunity for people to access that, where maybe if they weren't going to an event, they wouldn't have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the many things happening very soon. And this is part of this upcoming weekend's Art Walk.
Art
right?
Walk,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's partnered with. It's a separate program, but it's Lennox Loves Music, it's Art Walk, and it's Lennox Pride.
Okay. And the Pride event is where?
Downtown in Lilac Park.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be family activities, some music, some storytelling. There's going to be vendors set up, so I'm hoping that the weather holds off, and I'm going to do our rain dance.
Yeah.
I keep looking at the forecast, and I'm like, you be nice.
This is the first year for a Pride event in Lenox.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. We had Berkshire Pride was on with me a few weeks ago, and they were running down their schedule because, of course, June is Pride Month. And they did mention that this is the first time they're going to be in Lenox, and I think first time in Lee as well. Right, they have
maybe second time in Lee,
but it's great to see that they're expanding beyond just the Pittsfield event, which in itself is quite a draw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people come to that. So, to your point, Jay, when you mentioned that sort of when we were talking about the Rumpies event there, and you know, you said that you know you're always learning about sort of the historical little niches, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting because just like anywhere else, there's a lot of change that happens, and that's good. Change is good, but it's also, I think people are grateful when there's still that little connection to the past. And you know, when people come who are new to the area, new business owners, I mean, you're new to Lenox. You're not from Lenox. Sarah, you're not from Lenox, right? I mean, I technically wasn't born in Lenox. I was 9 years old when I moved there, so I don't know if I'm actually a native. I don't, probably not, but
I don't think any of us are natives unless we're born.
Here. unless you're born there. But it's still good to see some historical things come up, and to that point with new faces and new people and new ideas coming in, it's nice to see that connection. And I'll just point out one thing is Dr. Sack's house, which was the former Candlelight Inn, and what's really great about what they've done there is that they've made it very modern. Maybe that's my word for it, but they've done some really innovative things there. But their front window, the front door, there's a frosted glass image of the old Candlelight Inn, and it says Candlelight on there. And Kelly Binder, who owns it, she said that they purposely left that there to kind of honor the history of what it was, you know, so which I thought was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's nice to see stuff like that in Lenox.
I think a lot of business owners do that, particularly the ones that own Edith Wharton was Edith Wharton's house, but there's others that have changed names over the years, but I think a lot of people do take, ownership of what the history of the property was and acknowledge that somehow in their own way, and that's a great example.
Yeah. So another thing that that comes up a lot about Lenox being downtown, of course, is parking, right?
It's and a great
you,
topic.
You already mentioned
it's
it.
It's June 1st, this summer. Talk about parking.
Right. You already touched on it a little bit there about one plan that had been in place. What are we looking at for some resolutions on that? What are we looking to make that situation a little better? And what can you recommend for people when they're looking for a place to park?
Great question. I think parking is a double-edged sword. There are folks who think that there is a parking issue, and there are folks that think there's not. The fact that we may have a parking problem is probably a good thing. It means people are coming to downtown, they're coming to Lenox, they're visiting, shopping, visiting the Berkshires. So last year, there was an opportunity for us to acquire, if you know Lenox and know downtown, there's a dirt parking lot right in the middle of downtown. Now, that's not owned by the town. That's owned by a private individual. They were willing to sell it to the town. That did not go through for a variety of reasons. However, the current owner is still allowing cars to park there. We can fit about, I'd say maybe 20, 21 cars in there, you know, give or take, depending upon how people park. It's not well-regulated. It's kind of self-regulating. However, the town decided to just take another snapshot. It had been an issue that had been talked about for many years. But we just decided to take kind of a high-level view and say, is there anything that we could do cost-effective and efficiently to just increase parking capacity a little bit? If there's any feedback that we got from Sarah's folks in the chamber and people in town and our guests and visitors, it was simply, we kind of want to park where we're going, as does everybody. They want to park right in front of that door, whatever restaurant or shop they're visiting. So our DPW superintendent, Bill Gopp, great guy, Bill looked at traffic flow and said, you know, he believed many years ago there'd been a plan to just change Church Street going out to Franklin Street, back out to Main one way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know downtown Lenox, you know that where the Heritage Pub is, that's one way inbound into the center. And then you can make your left onto Church Street, go down Church Street, past Firefly, Bee's Tea, which is a new restaurant opening up, and then left onto Franklin and out. So that's what we decided to do. We spent about a good 90 days or so, I would say, trying to get that message out. It's very hard for a municipality to communicate, but we did. Sarah and her group helped. And we got that word out there, and we implemented it on Tuesday, May 18th, and we're keeping our fingers crossed. But between the Lenox Police Department and DPW, we think so far the signage plan worked, and traffic flow moves around. The feedback that we've received so far has been very positive about it, and what it did was create about 26 new parking spots. Now, they won't be there all winter. We'll need snow load areas to move the snow. But at least for the summer months when people are coming to downtown, which is what we want, you should be able to move through easily, and there's plenty of parking spots on both sides of Franklin and Church Street. So we expanded it with the dirt lot not becoming another building. We have ample parking. So today's June 1st. Hopefully by July 1st, we won't be talking about parking, and we'll have plenty of room for folks.
So that traffic pattern, is that set for year-round, or is this just a summer thing?
It's year-round.
Okay.
It's a two-year pilot.
Okay.
So we're going to monitor it. We wanted two full cycles to see how it works both, you know, year-round through the seasons, as I said, with snow load, fire department, see if there's any issues getting emergency apparatus through there.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, you know, if we get negative feedback consistently, if it doesn't work, we've discovered something that we didn't know about when we thought about it, you know, we'll dial it back. But so far, so good.
Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't, can't visualize, maybe doesn't know the names of the streets, downtown of Lenox is really, there's two main blocks, right? So you can kind of do a figure eight if you're driving through it, right? Imagine that. I mean, there's other, don't get me wrong, obviously there's other businesses and things just within arm's reach of that. But for the most part, it's centric around those two blocks. And so you're saying that it's the northern block is where the Church Street and Franklin Street are one way now.
Yes.
Okay. But the southern block, aside from the Housatonic, where Loeb's and the Heritage House is, aside from that, you can, it's still two-way traffic. Is
yes.
that fair? Okay.
Yes. It there's a little bit of an impact to some of the residential neighborhoods off of Tucker Street back there, but you know, it just started, so we'll continue to monitor that. And and it, with anything else, there'll be some, you know, some impact elsewhere. But it's a big U. Really, at the end of the day, go into downtown via Housatonic Street. You could still make the right on Church Street.
Okay,
go by the back of the Curtis Building. Come out onto Walker Street. You can still go straight all the way down Housatonic Street into Lenoxdale, or you make that left onto Church.
All right.
So it really doesn't change too much.
Yeah. So just you know, be patient. Right, is what we're asking.
Please,
for people who are trying to acclimate to the new system and. But it sounds like you guys put a lot of thought into it. And
thank you. Yeah.
Right. And then, so the reason that you have extra parking spaces now is because you've gone basically to one lane. So where you used to have space for, because you had two lanes of traffic.
Right.
That's kind of opened up that space for parking is what you're saying.
It did. And the other thing, the other idea that we wanted to kind of challenge ourselves on and solve is deliveries. It's a very busy, not congested, but it's a very tight, small area. And these delivery companies come in with 18-wheel trucks. They come in with big box trucks. There's been many times, heart of the day, lunch hour, I'm driving through there, putting my eye on stuff or coming back from a meeting, and there's this, you know, food service delivery vehicle right in the middle of the road. What we wanted to do is kind of carve out some spots so that people who are delivering, whether it's the package companies, anything else, they can pull into those spots, put their hazards on, and it's a loading zone. And then that way their traffic flow, and they're not taking up a parking spot where somebody might be coming in actually looking to park and patronize the business. Hard to regulate, hard to manage, hard to police, but we're going to give it a shot.
So, but you have considered that, and so you've tried to make some accommodations for those deliveries because, as we know, you know, with businesses, their deliveries come at all hours, and these delivery companies, they're doing their best. They got so many things, you know, there's so many delivery services now and so much online service. So, but so you recognize it, but you're trying to accommodate them as well in
this
process.
I had lunch one day at Heritage House, and we're sitting there and we're watching a food truck delivering supplies to Loeb's. And our police chief at the time, Chief O'Brien, happened to be walking his beat by, and he stopped to say hello at the table. And he turned around and he had to go over there and direct traffic because it was such a traffic jam with the truck trying to make a delivery. So that's kind of what the genesis was. Like, we have to find a better way.
Yeah. Oh, good. I fingers crossed. Hopefully this works.
In
addition to that, though, there is more parking. Where else, Sarah, where else would you recommend that people park? I know there are some public lots, right?
There's a public lot behind Beacon Bake, which you always guide people to. That's a good place. And then, you know, along the side streets and on Main Street. And it's, you know, it's meant to be a walking village. So, yeah, there's enough parking.
Okay. And then also with the police department moving, are those spots at the fire, at the police station now available for the public parking?
Yeah, great question, Brian. So there's kind of three lots associated with the town hall complex. The lower lot, about half of it, has always been dedicated to public parking. That remains. After hours, Saturday, Sunday, the entire lot's open to the public. There's probably a good 25, almost 30 spots in there. Where the police department was, there's probably about a dozen. We're going to make that the same as the lower lot, Monday through Friday for staff parking. We're going to maybe have some dedicated town hall visitor spots in there as well. And then after hours, Saturday, Sunday, that whole lot can also be for public parking, too. So we gain some spots there. The only lot that will not be made available to the public is the old fire station lot, Central Station. Central Station will still likely be active for a period of time. We're going to position an engine company there, as well as maybe a second EMS unit there. We want to test the response times from Tanglewood. From the new public safety complex across the bypass down on Housatonic Street. Make sure they can respond to Tanglewood in time. So the fire chief has a plan to station that there. So we want to keep that driveway still open. Mm-hmm. And then that the parking lot where the fire staff used to park, that's always going to be reserved for municipal staff, municipal vehicles.
Okay, great. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, especially with Tanglewood and the high volume of people down there, you know, more people, more problems, right?
Yes.
Potentially. So you want to make sure that you can get there in case there's an issue.
And like you said, it's change. So we want to see what impact the changes have, but at the same time, you know, be able to adapt and respond.
So for anybody who's just joining us, we are talking about Lenox and what to expect for this upcoming summer. So we have in studio, we have Jay Green, who is the town manager.
Morning.
Good morning. And Sarah Goodberlet. I'm sorry.
Tell me Goobs.
I'm sorry, Sarah.
Should get a t-shirt.
That's my high school name, Goobs.
And Sarah is the executive director of the Lenox Chamber of Commerce. When we talk about some of the events that are coming up and the reason people need to park in town, you know, we have obviously some things that you've already talked about, Sarah, that are coming up in the very near future. But, you know, Lenox is not just summer, right? You have events that come up, and I know we're forecasting ahead, and nobody really wants to think about past summer right now. This is June 1st, right? We don't want to start talking about September, but there are some big events that happen in the fall, too, and I'm sure you're already planning for those. So, what comes up in September that we need to be aware of?
Well, it's our, this year, it's a big one. It's the 45th annual Apple Squeeze. Mm-hmm. That is September the 26th. That's an all-day event on Saturday. So that's a big one. We mm-hmm. already opened up to our vendors. We have about 70 registered right now. Mm-hmm. So we're giving that attention. We're working on that. We're in the back burner. We're talking about doing a restaurant week in October. Mm-hmm. And maybe opening that up, partnering that with Jazz. So figuring that out. And then once we turn that corner, we'll have our Winterfest in the fall. But our goal is to definitely sprinkle programming throughout the whole year instead of just those condensed couple of months. This past January, February, we launched Lenox Loves, which was a 5-week program that was really member-based and program that was already kind of created. And it was really successful. It was just giving a reason to get out of the house. And mm-hmm. Fall, we're going to get through the summer, and then fall we've got some programs. But you know, it's good to partner with other towns and what they have offering. So you don't want to get too dense. You know, Berkshire Botanical Garden always has a wonderful fall event. So finding those right weekends where you know, you can garner attention and it's important.
And in the meantime, too, throughout the summer and maybe into the fall, I think also you have the farmers market.
Farmers market. Yeah. We just wrapped up week two. So very exciting. It's every Friday at St. Anne's in the park there from 11 till 3. And we have a wonderful market season this year. We have more vendors than we ever have. We have a variety of produce, dairy, bread, treats, artisan crafts, live music. So we've put a lot of attention into building up that program. It's just a wonderful community offering. We spent a lot of energy, and we're really excited that launched. The first 2 weeks have been great. Produce is a little light, mm-hmm. Just important for everyone to know because the feedback is, but, you know, farmers are growing. So mm-hmm. right now it's a lot of scallions and some early greens, but produce will bark up. Pretty soon we'll get our berries and mm-hmm. our tomatoes. And so I encourage everyone to stop down. And the farmers markets in the area all really work well together. So, you know, there's one on Wednesday, there's one on Thursday, there's one on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So none of them compete. So there's offerings for everyone. But Lenox Farmers Market is on Fridays from 11 to 3.
Yeah, and that is great that they do stagger throughout the week so that they're not competing with one another. And then so Lenox is the Fridays. Again, the times?
11 to 3 at St. Anne's.
At St. Anne's, okay. And that's if that's just off of Main Street. That is on Main Street.
That is on Main Street, right. And we are allowed to use their parking lot behind there.
Okay. And that's St. Anne's was also Church on the Level. We got Church on the Hill and Church on the Corner, right?
Trinity, yeah, we got lots of churches.
Church on the Corner, Church on the Hill, Church on the Level. So,
speaking of Church on the Hill, if folks are interested in history, that's a. Mm-hmm. I was just there really for the first time walking through that this past weekend. Mm. What a great location. Mm-hmm. A lot of history in there. Mm-hmm. Sergei Kuvitsky, mm-hmm. founder of the BSO at Tanglewood, mm-hmm. Was there. Mm-hmm. He's buried there as well.
Is there.
Yeah. Is there, yes. Yes. And there are approximately, we just learned this over the weekend, there are approximately 41, 42 revolutionary era veterans buried mm-hmm. in there. Mm-hmm. And there's a nice map that Amy did from our local history department at the Lenox Library. Mm-hmm. And walk around there, and there's a map right there. So if you're interested in that history, coming to Lenox, stop by. Beautiful church, mm-hmm. beautiful meeting house, the original meeting house to Lenox, built 1801, 1802, somewhere through there. So just a lot of history in Lenox like there is in the Berkshires.
Mm-hmm. And I also understand up there there are members of the 54th Regiment
yes.
from the Civil War, which was made famous. Well, I mean, it was already famous, but
right.
In modern era, we're familiar with it because of the movie Glory.
That's right.
And that there were a number of African-American soldiers who mm-hmm. served and died. And from Berkshire area and in Lenox, and they're buried there mm-hmm. too, I understand.
And I believe the, I can't think of his name, but the unit commander, mm-hmm. played by Shaw.
Yep.
Colonel Shaw's wife, I believe, is buried in there as well.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. They actually, so Ventfort Hall, as you may know, was us actually where Shaw and his wife had their honeymoon period before he went off. I think it was her... J.P. Morgan, I think, was her uncle, or there's some connection mm-hmm. there with J.P. Morgan. And so it was originally constructed as a wedding gift for some, maybe for her, but they had their little, they at least were there for their honeymoon. And then he was sent off to fight in the Civil War and never to return, of course. But yeah, there's always amazing little bits of history mm-hmm. throughout Berkshire County here.
Yes.
And which is really fantastic, you know, to learn these things. And we're always learning, right? You just get out there and you find out some stuff, like the monument there in the center of Lenox, right? Patterson, I think it is, Patterson Memorial.
Yes.
I mean, especially when we talk about coming up on the 250th anniversary of the Revolution, you know, there's a lot of attention to that. And that's a monument to someone who was, he was one of these guys, like, he was involved with everything that was going on during that time.
Yes. It's my understanding that he assembled the Lenox Minutemen for the Battle of Lexington Concord in April of 75 and responded mm-hmm. to that alarm. And I don't believe he came back for quite some time because mm-hmm. he took his men, whichever men decided to stay, and it was men. Mm-hmm. He went into New York and followed the battle. And I think he went down as far as battle around New Jersey and in the mm-hmm. New York area. So just a lot of... We drive by it every day,
yeah.
and we don't think about it, but with the 250th, yeah. The Berkshires really did make an impact in the country.
Yeah, it sure did. All throughout the Berkshires, not just Lenox.
Mm-hmm. Right?
There's so much to learn about what's going on or what happened here in Berkshire County that led to the Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fantastic. It's great to be a part of that. You know,
it is.
250 years later. I mean, when I say a part of it, I mean to be in that realm, right,
mm-hmm.
in that area, in the room where it happened, but not. Not when it happened.
Yes, yes.
What else we got? So we got a lot going on here in Lenox. Obviously, when we come back, we're going to take a break in a minute, but we'll get into some of the stuff with Tanglewood, maybe some of the events that are coming up at Tanglewood this year. They have quite a packed schedule. They got a lot of popular artists, which of course are popular, right? Bringing a lot of folks into town, which is great for all the local businesses. It's a real symbiotic relationship that we have with Tanglewood and Shakespeare and Company and the Mount and all these fantastic places that people can go and visit.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to want to really stress that, us local folks, that we take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
You know, it's one of those things, like, because you live in it or around it, you know, maybe you work there. That might be your greatest exposure to some of these things. But we just kind of take a lot of this stuff for granted. And we really want to get our own folks to really experience mm-hmm. what we have right here in our own backyard.
It's for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And that includes all the outdoors, the hikes, and everything else that's available. So, all right. So we are coming up on the top of the hour. We are going to take a quick pause here to do our station identity. And we're going to thank our underwriters. And then when we return, we are going to continue our conversation with Jay Green, the town manager of Lenox, and Sarah Goodbriller, who is the executive director of the Lenox Chamber of Congress. Commerce.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, Chamber of Congress. Yes.
You make them more productive, Sarah.
more goals.
Yeah. All right, I'm a little tongue-tied today, but hey, I'm a volunteer. They get what they pay for.
And it's Monday.
and it's Monday,
Brian.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue conversations about all things in Lenox.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
It feels like nobody can agree on anything anymore. But disagreements lead to compromise, and compromise leads to progress. And that's the way we accomplish important things in a democracy. Luckily, we have PCTV's coverage of our local meetings, and we can see for ourselves the issues that are in front of us. We can watch our elected officials decide how to solve problems, and that service must have support to survive. Because if there's one thing we can agree on, it's PCTV's reliable coverage. PCTV, support transparency.
Hey, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Riley.
Do you like 90s alternative?
Do you like 2000s emo?
Are you tired of the same old predictable radio?
Tune in to Zennial Yearbook on WTVR. We're playing the best alternative songs from the 90s and early 2000s.
We're playing Green Day, Foo Fighters,
Blink-182, Weezer, and more My Chemical Romance than is required by law.
So tune your Walkman to 89.7 FM WTBR. Saturdays at 2 p.m. for all this and more.
It's Zennial Yearbook!
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Santrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to the morning drive, and we are going to check up with our weather, but we are talking all things Lennox today, so we're going to just take a second here and listen to the little Annie Lennox. All right, so here comes the weather. Let's see what we can expect here.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area today: patchy fog this morning, mostly sunny with isolated showers, highs in the mid-60s, north wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming northeast this afternoon. Chance of rain 20%. Tonight, mostly clear. Patchy fog after midnight. Lows around 40. North wind around 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Tuesday, patchy fog in the morning. Mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right. There is our weather. So enjoy. Get out and enjoy it. Rain or shine, get out and enjoy it.
Low of 40.
Yeah, well, it's June 1st, though. Just fight through it.
Yes.
Fight through it. So we are talking all things Lennox today, and especially with the summer season coming up, because it is such a hub for all the cultural and natural experiences that the Berkshires have to offer. So in studio, we have Jay Green, who's the town manager of Lennox.
Good morning.
And we have Sarah Goodberlet, who is the executive director of the Lennox Chamber of Commerce.
Good morning.
So, Sarah, we were talking a little bit about the chamber itself, and I guess you guys have a new location, right? Because you were on Housatonic Street. And where are you now? Where can people find your
we
office?
We are at 5 Walker Street. We are neighbors to the Lennox Pharmacy inside the Curtis Shops. Mm-hmm. And our entrance is directly across from Town Hall.
Okay, so you're in the old Curtis, or the Curtis Hotel, as yes. they call it, right? Curtis Shops?
Yes.
Oh, good. How long have you been there?
Less than a week.
Okay.
We moved last Wednesday, so very new, still getting settled, but I think it's going to be a great location for us. We have already received a lot of visitors coming off the bus mm-hmm. and coming in and looking for programs, Tanglewood brochures, so mm-hmm. Very excited to be there.
Yeah, that's true. It's located right across from the bus stop.
Yeah.
That's a good spot to be.
Yeah.
I watched the move from my office. It looked pretty efficient.
was.
Sarah was out there directing traffic.
Uh-huh. Tried to make it. We kind of were trying to be very kind to the movers because it's a busy street trying to find parking, you
right,
know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We were sectioning pieces of just so they can get as close as possible. But yeah, they were very great. Always moving.
Always
was fantastic.
Yeah. And do you have hours? I mean, is it open to the public that during the summer or weekends or? What's
yes, Monday through Saturday we're open 10 till 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so there's somebody there to answer questions.
Yep, answer,
okay.
And then you can always email us at info@lennox.org, mm-hmm. and we respond very quickly.
Okay, great. And when we talk about the Chamber of Commerce, right? You know, we've been talking a lot about downtown because we talked about the traffic pattern changes and the parking and the arrangements that were the accommodations that the town is trying to make to create more parking, right? And we tend to focus on a lot of what happens downtown, but the Chamber of course represents commerce throughout the town, right? Because there's a couple other business districts. It's not just downtown. Can you tell me a little bit more about some of your other roles with the Chamber outside of center of town?
Yeah, well, our event schedule is bringing events down into the historic village. We have 155 members, so we include them in everything. We often, because that is where a lot of the foot traffic is, and it's kind of the center, we always offer them opportunities to come and be downtown. You know, Antimony's a good example. Mm. They'll come down with their beer station. They are always a good vendor at the Apple Squeeze. I've offered before, if anyone wanted to come down and show their art for a weekend, they can always use the Chamber as a base mm-hmm. because that is the most concentrated area of traffic. But our members get all of the same benefits, marketing opportunities. And we're trying to invigorate those areas also because everyone, we're all part of Lennox. So
mm-hmm. 7 and 20, a lot of, they call it the bypass because it bypassed downtown Lennox, but new Lennox itself and the northern section is really vibrant with mm-hmm. Mazzio's Deli just opened up there. We have Market 32 in the plaza, Amazing Fa. Mm-hmm. I thought it was Amazing Faux, but somebody corrected me the other day. It says Fa.
Yeah.
Another great locally owned establishment. Indra just opened up that Indian fusion restaurant. They got their liquor license, by the way. Wasn't the town, was the state. So there is a lot of activity in that section. And of course, we can't forget Lennox Dale mm-hmm. As well. That's yep. another little hidden gem. Mm-hmm. Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum is down there. Mm-hmm. Riverdale Market mm-hmm. is down there. So Lennox really does have some distinct areas, and they all have their unique culture.
Mm-hmm.
For Memorial Day, Lennox Dale had its own celebration, and then we go up to the center of town. So there's mm-hmm. really a lot to see and explore in Lennox itself, not in the Berkshires as a whole.
Yeah, well, like a lot of towns in Berkshire County, Lennox has its sub villages, right?
Right.
New Lennox is one, but the more defined one, of course, is Lennox Dale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of like Housatonic is to Great Barrington, right?
That's right.
They got their own zip code, their own post office,
yep. Yep.
Their own firehouse, and so it really, it's a unique community down there. Really, a lot of tradition down there. People who've been there for generations mm-hmm. and really understand and know the area,
mm-hmm.
right? And also as far as the industry that down there on Crystal Street, that's, you know, a lot of the manufacturing that happens in Lennox is done down there. So
yes.
We appreciate that as well. A lot of job mm-hmm. job producers down there. But then, of course, you know, like you said, North County, or I'm sorry, not North County, but North Lennox has also kind of become sort of an auto mile as of late.
Mm-hmm.
with all the new car dealerships that are
yes.
down in there. So a lot of new development, a lot going on in Lennox. So
it's
I'm
exciting.
Sure the chambers keep, I'm sure you, as a Chamber of Commerce, you could keep them busy.
Yeah, lots of business, lots of busy to do.
And then, but for fun stuff, there is another event. You said this weekend is the art Festival, right? Let's talk about that again, and then we'll talk. You have another one coming up in a few more weeks after that, right?
Yes, June is very, very active. So this weekend is the Art Walk on Saturday and Sunday, partnered with Lenox Pride. They have a couple events happening on Saturday. And then Sunday afternoon begins our Lenox Loves Music series. So that's available this weekend. And then June 20th, Saturday, is the Lenox Garden Party. I believe it's its third year, and this is a very, very popular event where our retailers kind of open up their stores with specials, all things kind of garden-themed, and they create this menu, and they offer these complimentary cocktails and gourmet bites. And this menu is, I'm going to post it on our website, it's just amazing. It's tantalizing. you know, the Wit is offering sweet honey popcorn, lavender popcorn, with a bee's knees cocktail with honey syrup, lemon juice, and vodka. You know, and there's just like 30 vendors and retail stops that are opening up and providing all of these delicious bites. And I just, it's such a fun day. We have live music happening. It is Saturday the 20th, 12 to 5. The retailers really just go above and beyond for this event. It's an annual event, and I believe it's the third, and I'm just so excited for it.
And it's 8:10 in the morning, and now I'm already thinking about food and cocktails.
I can read more. The first time I got my hands on this menu, I'm like, what?
So that's part of the draw, to go to these businesses and see what they're offering as a little snacks or cocktails, right?
Yeah, little bites, little tasty bites, and it's just it's a joyful
it's a
day.
It's a garden party.
Yeah, it's a playoff kind of like the winter market, which I think you were involved in.
Yep.
You were Santa Claus, right?
Santa was Santa Claus.
Santa is always Santa.
But I may have known him very, very well. Ho, ho, ho. So let's focus on summer. Let's not talk about Santa and Christmas on June 1st.
June 1st.
Right? But you, actually, to that point, June 20th is the day of that party or the event in Lenox, which is also, I believe, the first concert at Tanglewood.
John Stewart.
Obviously, Tanglewood is a big draw for folks to come here into Berkshire County, and you know, the chamber has a great relationship, I assume, with Tanglewood, and the businesses, you know, around Berkshire County do well because of things like Tanglewood and Shakespeare and Company and the other events that bring people in.
Yeah, it's neat to witness. There's a bunch of partnerships with Tanglewood. And then it's also just so rewarding to see the business owners themselves get excited for the season. Mm-hmm. And when tickets go on sale, you know, they're always just talking about, oh, I got Paul Simon, and oh, I'm going to see... what's his name? Who's coming? Weird Al.
Weird Al.
Yeah. So it's such a robust season. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's going to be a wonderful time.
Yeah, and the popular artists, you know, obviously, like we said before, they call it popular artists because they're popular, right? And so they get a good turnout for that. But they've got quite an eclectic combination of things. You know, like you mentioned, Weird Al Yankovic, Carrie Underwood is coming at the end of the season. I know there's more. John Stewart starting Ziggy Marley. I know there's more.
John Fogerty, CCR.
John Fogerty.
Yeah.
I think did they add Steve Winwood for like later September? I thought I saw that somewhere. No? Okay.
Maybe. There's been a lot, and they announced it pretty fast and rapid fire succession.
Yeah. I know they've been busy down there. I know they've been busy.
They're making a great effort to take advantage of the Tanglewood grounds and, you know, I think the performers really enjoy performing there. And, of course, for us in Lenox in particular, but also the Berkshires, I think it's great that it just brings people into the region.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important for all of us.
Yeah. And you know, historically speaking, I mean, after the whole Gilded Age period there with the quote-unquote cottages, right, that's when Tanglewood sort of started to come together. And you mentioned Koussevitzky, right, and how the shed down there is named after him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they just had. Did they just have a 100-year anniversary recently for Tanglewood, or they're pretty close if they haven't already?
There was Keith Lockwood's anniversary for Conductor of the Pops.
Yeah,
and then I feel as though the BSO celebrated itself.
Okay.
This Tanglewood. Well, the shed was built in I think 32.
Yeah. Okay. So we're getting there. But it's just really you know, developed into what it is today, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And really shout out really to Lenox PD, the Sheriff's Department, Mass State Police, and our traffic control officers.
Mm-hmm.
We had a vendor in town working on our public safety complex, and he said, I went to, I forgot which artist he went to, but he said, I have to tell you, I've never been in a large venue and saw traffic move as well. So a little shout out to our law enforcement and traffic control folks. We even get props for how we do that. And get people in and get people out. So,
and they do have it down to a science. And a big part of that is being able to shut down traffic up in the center of town at that monument we were talking about before. Because if you didn't have two lanes of traffic going up out of West Street, then you wouldn't get all those folks out of there in time. So, it's not just the operation at the gates, but there are residual areas like in the center of Lenox where they really need to, and they've been doing that for so long, and they've got it down to a science, but it's really an important part of it for sure. Now, you mentioned the safety complex. So as town manager, let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
I believe everybody's moved in now. It's up and running.
We're fully operational. Our fire response in center of town, the career fire guys that work in there and gals that work in there, they will respond from Housatonic Street, from the public safety complex. We still have Lenoxdale Station, New Lenox Station, and Central Station will be periodically staffed, or at least we'll have apparatus there this year. But the police department's fully functioning out of there now. We hope you don't be a guest. We have a lot of lodging establishments in Lenox. There's nicer ones. so hopefully you won't be a guest. But yes, everyone's operating a $30 million project. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of pride for the community. We still have a lot of volunteer firefighters. You know, that's a profession and community involvement that's really not a lot of communities can do that say that anymore. But we still do have a lot of folks that want to volunteer in the fire service. So it's also a great facility, you know, for them as well, and our career folk. So if you do stop by, just keep advised, you know, there's really not anybody there waiting at the window to greet you. We had some feedback the other day. Somebody said, hey, I went in there and there was nobody there. Well, they're working. They're out in the field likely. But if you'd like to see the facility, call up, make an appointment. I'm sure somebody would be willing to show anybody around.
Is there a call box, though?
There is.
Okay, so if you show up there for an emergency, you can always call.
There is. There's a variety of ways. If you pull in, there are public restrooms in there, and you should be able to access those Monday through Friday, normal business hours. There's an emergency call button that will ring to regional dispatch. There's a button that will ring all the phones in the building, fire and police side, and there's an old-fashioned doorbell.
Okay. And so, Jay, when you came on board, too, you've been town manager now for a year and a half.
Yep.
So you had a lot handed to you, right, during your transition.
Yes.
That being one is getting that building up and running. We talked about the traffic pattern changes, but also, you know, you had some personnel staff that you had to. You had some people retiring, right? You mentioned Steve O'Brien earlier. He and his brother, so fire chief and the police chief. So, and those you know, those positions have been filled.
Our town clerk,
long clerk as well.
Harry Sullivan, retired. We filled that as well.
So a lot of stuff that maybe you didn't know when you first signed up, right?
You know, it's always you never know what you're going to get, but for the most part, some of those things were planned. And Chris Ketchin, my predecessor in the select board, they did a great job, and all of our department heads bringing me on board. So I kind of knew what the lay of the land was, but there's always curveballs. But we got through them.
Yeah,
and it's a great team.
I know all those positions have been filled, and I think they're great choices.
Great.
Yep. So. We also, one other thing that does come up is when we talk about Lenox and people visiting Lenox is their cell service. So I know that has also been a conversation that has happened, has been ongoing. Where does the town stand with that right now?
So cell service and telecommunications is not traditionally a municipal function. That should be said up front. However, Town of Lenox leadership has identified it as a need. It's a public safety concern, particularly when you speak with those previous department heads. Our current fire chief and police chief feel the same way. Our public safety complex has a radio communications tower located in the back of the structure. It's about 150 feet tall. Our town zoning bylaws that regulate personal wireless communications, as it's called, allows cellular equipment to be installed on a pre-existing tower. So because that tower is there, it's already been outfitted with all the appropriate radio and other telecommunications equipment for public safety. There's space on the tower to allow a cellular installation on there. We went to town meeting this past May. And the article overwhelmingly passed allowing the select board to lease out space on the tower for a cellular or more cellular providers. So that's what we're working on now. We have to procure it. Municipal government does not move fast. We move deliberately slow, and that is intentional by people that structured it. So we have to put out an RFP, request for proposals, and we'll see what we get back from a variety of different carriers. And, you know, we'll try to get as many up there as we physically can based on the technology and the limitations. It's not the ideal height. It's about 180 feet is a really ideal height. But our consultant that we've hired to kind of walk us through the process has said we'll definitely increase cellular traffic. Now, it's important to note for our listeners, it's not a panacea. It won't solve all of the cell phone gaps in the Lenox area, but it will definitely contribute to a certain extent those gaps. So keep your fingers crossed, and more to come as the summer goes on.
Yeah. All right. Well, at least it'll fill in some of those gaps, like
yes.
You're saying, because we do know that I think it's more for the Verizon carriers, I believe, because I don't have a problem with my carrier, but I know that there are some people that come into town and they can't get a signal. So
yes.
All right. Well, good. Well, hopefully that'll alleviate some of that. Today we're talking about Lenox. We're talking about all the things that are coming up for the summer. We're talking about things that affect the summer, right? Like the parking and the travel.
Cell service.
The cell service. all those type of things that Jay can speak to. So we've got Jay Green, who's the town manager of Lenox. And we also have Sarah Goodberlet, who is the executive director of the Lenox Chamber of Commerce. Sarah, let's talk a little bit more about all those reasons that people need that parking. What are they coming to town for? What are some of their things that are going on around?
They're coming in to shop and eat and walk around and just kind of visit. There's a lot of hotels downtown, so they're staying there, and just lots of opportunity.
Yeah. And as far as eating, I think Lenox is for, by a square foot, I think you get the best bang or the most opportunities, right? There's so many good restaurants in the center of Lenox. So, I mean, people are always asking, where's a good place? And you just say, just walk around, check the menus out. You'll find something. There's so many good options just in those two blocks.
Yeah, or I'll even, what are you in the mood for? Mm-hmm. Because we can really offer anything, Someone came in and they're like, we want to go outside and we want pizza. Okay, well, here's our Autobahn and here is Pizzeria Bohemia. Mm-hmm. So asking those questions of the visitors and whole, having them come in and talk and get to know them, that's one of the best parts of the job. Right. That's the real Visit Lenox side, is we get to welcome them and kind of help build those experiences and guide them and to all the different offerings that we have.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just downtown. I mean, there's plenty of restaurants, North County, North Lenox as well.
Yes.
Antimony for one.
Antimony, Indra. You can just drive north and we're really growing.
Yeah. But as far as concentration, the center of Lenox, I think, has a really good variety, which is great for people who are visiting. Mm-hmm. So we talked about Tanglewood. We also have Shakespeare and Company is another big draw. Are you familiar with their schedule much or some of the stuff that's going on there?
Just it's very robust, and they always do an amazing season. They've got lots of things. I would refer to their website, but just so much thought and planning and offerings. Shakespeare and Company, the Mount Cultural Center has just got such a lovely calendar, outside music, author series. Then you've got Venford Hall. I mean, all of these cultural institutions just have so much, I keep saying robust, but it's just diverse and robust programming, and it's just something for everyone.
Yeah, and you're right. Rather than speaking for them, we should just say go to those websites, right? Venford Hall has a whole series of events that they have. They're good for their ghost tours, for one, but they have a lot of other things as well. And then the Mount, if anybody wants to go to the Mount, obviously there's the museum for Edith Wharton, which is fee-based, rightfully so. But then there's also the gardens and the trails, and those, I believe, are open to the public, right?
That is open to the public, and I believe they just got their sculpture series completely installed. So this is a good opportunity for me to plug our weekly newsletter, because what the Chamber does a really great job of is taking all of these offerings and events and opportunities and putting into a weekly format that will go right to your inbox. So if you go to lennox.org, you can sign up and receive our newsletter, and we take all of this and condense it in an attractive package so that you can kind of see what's available to you the week ahead. And as the month moves forward, we just keep showcasing these programs and opportunities.
Yeah, and that sculpture walk that they have at the Mount is also a lot of fun. And it is. They replace those sculptures every year, right? So they, like you said, I think they just installed that. And that's all part of that free space where you can just walk the trails and the gardens, and they're beautiful. So it's a great way to spend an hour or so walking around. And you get to see the property. It's fantastic. So there are a lot of options like that out here in Lenox and our neighboring towns. Nom Keg is another great place to go in Stockbridge. Yeah, I mean, just so many things.
Yeah, Berkshire Botanical Garden.
Botanical Gardens,
Norman,
yeah.
Rockwell.
Rockwell, sure.
All of our Mass Audubon locations.
Yep.
We all support each other. Mm-hmm. You know, it's whatever anyone wants to experience and mm-hmm. visit. And like, we'll go to the Clark, mm-hmm. Mass Mocha.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a lot of stuff countywide that even if you show up in Lenox because of our hospitality, you know, the number of hotel rooms we have, you start in Lenox. You can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You stay in Lee, same thing. North County, same thing. Berkshires is very easily traversed. You can do a lot in a single day, but of course we like those folks to stay overnight, mm-hmm. maximize that economic impact for us countywide. But there really is so much to do. And like you were saying, Brian, when we opened the show, it's really diverse. Outdoor recreation,
mm-hmm.
museums, the history. Hopefully, you know, Berkshire Scenic Railroad Museum operates train rides between Adams and North Adams. Someday we'll hopefully get them back in South County, too, and have two train ride events. That'll bring people to the county as well. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff. It's June 1st coming into the summer. That's really when the Berkshires bloom. But we're really a year-round destination.
Yeah. And that scenic railway, I remember, maybe probably more than a decade at this point, but when it was, you could go down there and travel south from mm-hmm. Lenox down into Stockbridge.
Stockbridge, right.
So that would be really great if that could get up and running again. Because right now it runs where? Where does the scenic railway from Adams to
North Adams and back? It's a 5 mile one way, mm-hmm. 10 mile round trip. There's a lot of history up there as well, mm-hmm. and you know, still have the Christmas trains and the Easter trains and the fall foliage trains. Those events are still happening. I think they want to do a pumpkin patch express this mm-hmm. year. It hasn't been done in a while. But really, the Lenox to Stockbridge, if not to Great Barrington, is a project I know that the museum leadership is working on.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully Mass DOT, when they're done with the construction project on the tracks, that can happen. There'll be some impact with GE Rustler River down there, but we don't think it's going to impact passenger train operations. So keep your fingers crossed. Let Mass DOT, let your state rep and state senator know that you'd love to see train rides again in South County, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I remember doing that with our kids a long time ago when they were little, and it was a great way to spend the afternoon just riding down and back. You know?
It's great, very scenic.
Yeah, oh, for sure. So we've got about a minute left. Anything, Sarah, that you want to put out there for our listeners?
Just come down and see us this season. We have some great programming, and we are ready to talk to you and meet you and walk around and just get involved, and lots of opportunities to eat and listen to music and see the culturals. And there's nothing like a Lenox summer when the weather's behaving.
Yeah, that's the one thing we can't control, right?
That's right.
All right. Right. Jay, how about you? What do you want to say?
You know, we talk a lot about tourism in the summer with Lenox and bringing people in from outside the area, which is important. But, you know, a lot of my local colleagues and friends around here, they say, geez, we'll see you in September, like the song goes. Well, we've kind of worked on parking to expand that. So, you know, look for those spots. And if you're a local, come and see Lenox at the height of the season. It's somewhat rewarding to see folks coming in from outside the area and saying, geez, this is a really nice place to visit. Yeah. Listen, a great place to live, too. And guess what? We do.
Yeah.
So stop by and see us. Don't just wait till September.
Yeah. All right. Exactly. It's a year-round place, right? People live there mm-hmm. year-round. I remember one quick little story. My mother used to work at an inn, the Apple Tree, which is now going to be the Avalok. And this is in the 80s. And someone called. They saw in the brochure about the horse-drawn sled. And they were calling from the cities in the 80s. And they said, do you have that available? How? And they really thought that they weren't going to be able to get there. They thought that's how we got around in the off season. So, but anyway, so
we have paved streets now.
Yes, yes. So anyway, thank you everybody for joining us. Thank you for joining us here on the Morning Drive, WTBR 89.7 FM, 88.1 FM in Lee. Thank you, Jay Green. Thank you, Sarah Goodblert.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for talking about Lennox.
Thanks,
and
Brian.
Everybody, enjoy the rest of this week. Please think of our men and women serving overseas. And enjoy this June. Take care.